بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الغنى من كثرة العرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. A very important lesson given in this hadith to us by Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم. A lesson that we ought to listen to attentively and try and put into practice. Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم says that in the sight of Sharia, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person's wealth is not determined by the amount of material assets that he owns. A person is not considered wealthy because of the huge amount of material things that he owns. Rather, in the sight of Sharia, in the sight of Allah, true wealth is the wealth of the heart. Wealth of the heart meaning contentment of the heart. That whatever a person receives by way of rozi sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a person to remain content with that, satisfied with it, that this is the amount of rozi sustenance that has been predestined, pre-written for me, then that person will live a peaceful life. He will live comfortably. Because the more that he is content, the more that he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that little amount, Allah can grant him a great amount of barakah. On the other hand, if a person has a notion that Sharia determines the wealth of a person on the basis of the amount of material assets that he owns, then such a person is living a life of delusion, such a person is living a life of deception, such a person will very easily go astray, because that person is basing success on material assets, material wealth. When a person has this notion, then he does not rest. No matter how much wealth he receives, he always is looking at more affluent people, that I must match those people, I must also have the same amount of wealth, with the result that he begins to amass more and more wealth, and then he hoards his wealth, he becomes attached to that wealth, he grows a love for that wealth, he is not prepared then to even part with that wealth, to spend in the path of Allah. With regard to such a person, in one hadith it is mentioned that such people who have love for material assets, if they were to be given a valley full of gold also, they would then not rest until they acquire a second valley of gold. That also would not be sufficient. They will go out to earn a third and acquire a fourth valley of gold. In other words, there is no end to their greed and their lust for material assets. What the result in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لَا يَمْلَأُ جَوْفَهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابَ, that such a person's bosom will only be filled with the soil of the grave. The day that his eyes close, the day that he dies, then only his greed for material wealth will come to an end. Otherwise, because as long as living, because he has a greed for wealth, love for wealth, the result is that he wants to be the top gun, the top dog. Whatever field of business he is in, he feels I must be the best. I must outdo the other person, go one ahead of him. If that person owns a Ferrari, then I have to own a Lamborghini, I have to own a car better than him, because I have to outdo him. The reason for this is because of his greed, attachment for wealth that he acquires. Whereas if he has that quality of contentment, that the amount Allah Ta'ala is giving me, I am surviving, I am able to support myself and my dependents, my family and my children, they are living comfortably, why should I go and hanker for more? That hankering for more only comes about when a person is not content with the rosy sustenance that is written for him. So he has one factory, he wants to open a second factory, even though he is living comfortably, and then a third factory, a second shop, a third shop. He wants to expand his empire. And the more commitments he goes into, business commitments, the less sleep he gets. We find many people who are millionaires, billionaires, they cannot even fall asleep without resorting to sleeping pills. They cannot sleep peacefully. On the other hand, people who are content, they live a peaceful life. On one occasion, a very wealthy person who could not even fall asleep, no matter what type of bedding he bought, the best bed that money could buy, that cannot give a person sleep unless Allah Ta'ala puts him to sleep and gives him peace and rest. So he used to resort to sleeping pills. On one occasion he was traveling through a certain village area, and he came to the outskirts of the village. He saw, looked in a distance towards the jungle, a very poor looking man with torn and tattered clothing, a virtual pauper, but he had a smile on his face. So he followed that person, who was curious to find out, why is this man looking so happy? He followed him, and from behind some trees he observed him, that he came to the bank of a river, and he took out a little parcel which we would call his patkos. What was his patkos? Just a few pieces of roti, and had a few chilies in there. He wrapped the chilies in the roti, and he made a roll out of it. He ate it, and then he said, Alhamdulillah, he showed contentment. Then he used a brick on which he put his scarf or his shawl, used it as a pillow. He put his head down and fell asleep, without a single sleeping pill, without resorting to medication and drugs, owning virtually nothing in the world, but yet having a peaceful sleep. So this rich man began to envy that person, that I cannot even fall asleep in spite of my huge empire. And the reason was obvious. The more wealthy a person becomes, the more he has to worry about the SARS taxmen, the more he has to worry about attending to his merchants' debts, etc. And the more he hankers after wealth, the less he is content, the less he has a peaceful life. So that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَلَاكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّفْسِ. The true wealth is wealth of the heart, contentment of the heart, that is true wealth. Because then a person will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he shows gratitude for the little that he has. Allah ta'ala makes that little even go a longer way than the wealth of a very wealthy person who does not see barakat in his wealth because of his greed for wealth. When a person is content, he acquires the quality of sympathy for others also. That Allah Ta'ala has given me enough to love comfortably. Look at so and so person who is so destitute and needy. He cannot even dress his family and children. He has torn and tattered clothing. So he begins to sympathize with those people. Allah has made me content. Let me assist those people also to live a comfortable life. And he gets the urge to spend freely in the path of Allah. Whereas a person who develops love for wealth, he becomes miserly. He becomes stingy, he is not prepared to spend in the path of Allah. And when a person has contentment, Allah Ta'ala gives him peace for the little that he has. He spends in the path of Allah. As far as spending also is concerned, a person should be careful. Ordinary person like you and I do not have that degree and level of taqwa to give everything away in the path of Allah. We have to spend in moderation, pay our zakat, pay nafal khairat wherever possible. But obviously you have to think of our family and children. Do not spend so much that you become a pauper and you begin to then stretch your hands out towards other people and look for handouts. This also is not something that is desired. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions the quality of His true servants, of His faithful servants, that وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. That these are those people who when they spend in the path of Allah, they do not indulge in wastage. When they spend their wealth, they do not waste their wealth. At the same time, وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, they are not miserly also. They spend freely as much as possible. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They should seek the middle and moderate path. Spend in moderation. Spend on one's family, on oneself, on one's children in moderation. Do not become extravagant. At the same time, do not be miserly. So israf means wastage. Wastage could even mean that a person spends his money in the wrong places, in channels of sin and vice. Israf, wastage also means that he spends his money in the right places, but he spends more than is necessary. He gives so much that he himself has to beg from other people, stretch his hands out. That also is not desired, because our level of taqwa is not of that degree. On the other hand, people like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, whose level of taqwa was of a very high degree, we cannot even imagine. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made an appeal for funds at the time of the expedition of Tabuk, Then the Sahaba contributed towards the expedition. Uthman ibn Ghani radhiyallahu anhu was a wealthy person. He gave a huge amount of wealth, donated. Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was not that wealthy. But he went home and he emptied the contents of his entire home. He gave everything towards the path of Allah to spend on this battle of Tabuk, on this expedition. So much so, the historians have written, in those days, people used to use needles for mending the clothing, and they used to push this needle into the walls of their homes. The walls were made of mud, so that they can find the needle, they would poke it into the wall. So when he went to his house to remove his contents, he even groped along the wall to see there is no needle there. He even took out the needles, donated that also in the path of Allah. When Nabi Sallam asked him, what have you brought? He said, I brought my entire household contents. Nabi Sallam asked him, what have you left behind? He said, I have left behind Allah and His Rasul. That is, I have trust in Allah Ta'ala, that where this came from, Allah will give more tomorrow, inshallah. Allah will keep me content. So this was his level of taqwa. That to get the du'as of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam, he spent in this manner. We do not have that level of taqwa. We cannot give everything away. But at least spend freely in the path of Allah, leaving behind for our needs and the needs for our family and children. And that is something that is desired in Sharia. That you spend in that manner. So this is a very great and sublime quality, that of taqwa, or that of contentment. Contentment can only come when a person has full trust that Allah Ta'ala has taken responsibility for our rozi and for our sustenance. We cannot earn no matter how much we struggle, we have to make the effort, but Allah Ta'ala puts the cherry on top. Allah Ta'ala provides the rozi and the sustenance. Allah says in the Quran, لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. We do not ask you for sustenance. We do not eat to eat or drink. We provide the sustenance for you. We provide for you. If you spend on your family and children, spend on the poor, Allah will provide more for you. Allah will give greater barakah to you. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. That there is not a single creation except that Allah Ta'ala is responsible for the sustenance and for the maintenance of that creation. Yes, the creation has to make an effort for it. Then Allah will open the doors of rozi, provide the sustenance. Then Allah Ta'ala also says, وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Mustaqar means the permanent address of a person. Allah Ta'ala knows the permanent address of a person. وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Allah also knows the temporary address of a person. Wherever you may be throughout the entire world, Allah will send your rozi to that part of the world, no matter how remote it may be. In our worldly circles, in our corporate life, if you are perhaps, say, a rep for a company, you are working on a commission basis, so you have to travel, then you have to inform your employer, your boss, that today I'm in Cape Town, this month send my commission to Cape Town. You have to give him the address. Or tomorrow I will be in Port Elizabeth, send my commission there. Day after tomorrow I will be overseas in Malaysia. You can send my commission there by EFT, whichever means. So you have to keep informing the boss in order for him to know where to send the commission. As far as Allah is concerned, Allah Ta'ala knows it all. You don't have to inform Allah that today I'm in Germany, send my rozi to Germany. Tomorrow I'm in Russia, send it to Russia. Allah Ta'ala knows. The hadith says that the blackest of ant, in the darkest of night, in the blackest of soil, under the soil making movement, the tiniest and the blackest of ants does not escape the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala knows the movement of that too. So how will Allah ta'ala not know our movement? Wherever we go, the farishta that is assigned to let our rozi reach there, it will reach there. We do not have to send an SMS or BBM message to that farishta that today I'm in Germany, send my rozi to Germany. Or today I'm in Cape Town, send it to Cape Town. Allah Ta'ala knows, informs the farishtas, and the rozi reaches there at the right time, correct time, to fulfill your necessities, to fulfill your needs. So Allah Ta'ala is a provider. So this contentment is very, very important, that whatever Allah Ta'ala provides, we remain content with it. We thank Allah. Allah will give us great barakat in that. Hazrat Shaykh Amrohi Rahmatullahi, a great alim of a place called Amroha, near Muradabad, he used to teach under a shabby little shack, a hut. He used to teach children the Quran. Once a wandering hermit happened to go past Amroha, his town, and he saw Sheikh Amroi Rahmatullahi teaching children in such pitiful condition under a hut, and the sun also sometime reaches under the hut and become difficult for them to sit there. Rainwater could also come in. So he went up to Allama Amroi Rahmatullahi and said to Sheikh, then listen, take this vial, take this bottle from me. That vial had the ancient formula of alchemy. Alchemy is said to be a secret formula that if one drop were to be thrown onto a stone, the stone would turn to gold. So he said to Sheikh Amroi, accept this from me and use it to build your madrasa, to build a beautiful madrasa, to build a home for yourself. So Sheikh said to him, okay, leave it on the shelf behind me. There was a shelf behind him. He left it there. One full year had passed, and the hermit again came through Amroha. He thought, let me go and check on Sheikh Amrohi. By now he must be having a beautiful, huge madrasa with thousands of students. He must be having a personal, beautiful home for himself. When he got to Sheikh Amrohi's place, he found the same shabby little hut, sitting under the hut, teaching the 12 children in the simple style. So the hermit said to him, hey Sheikh, what happened to that bottle with the secret formula of alchemy? Sheikh looks up and says to him, oh, that I totally forgot. Look on the shelf, baby, it's still there. When he looked there, it was totally intact. Not a single drop was used. So even the hermit was astonished. He said to him, you had such a golden opportunity of turning things to gold. Why did you not use that? Sheikh said to him, Allah has bestowed me with a sublime quality that is more valuable than this alchemy, and that is the quality of qanaat, of contentment. Allah has made me content with whatever I possess, with whatever I have. So in this way, when a person shows gratitude, shows contentment, Allah Ta'ala gives him a great amount of barakah. In the hadith, there is a very interesting story. Nabi Karim Sallam mentions that among the Banu Israel, there were three people. One was a leper, the other was a bald person whose head fallen off, and the third person was a blind person. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to test these people's iman, to see their contentment, how much they are satisfied with the rozi provided to them. So Allah Ta'ala sent a farishta in human form to each of their homes. He went first to the leper, who was afflicted with a disease of leprosy, where the skin also begins to rot and begins to fall off the body. People are not prepared to sit next to such people. They find this very, very horrifying, this disease. So nevertheless, the farishta knocked at his door, came in human form. And when he saw him in this condition of leprosy, he asked the person, "Then tell me, what is the thing that you desire the most?" So obviously he replied, "I desire that Allah Ta'ala must remove the disease of leprosy, grant me a normal and beautiful skin and complexion." So the farishta passed his hand over that person, and with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the man was cured of his leprosy. Then this farishta in human form said to him, that what type of wealth do you like the most? So he said, I like camels. So the farishta with the hukam will of Allah gave to him a pregnant she camel that was about to deliver. So he took it, and the farishta went on his way. That she camel gave birth, and thereafter he began to breed those camels, and slowly but surely he acquired so much livestock, so many camels, that it could fill an entire jungle. The farishta went to the second person, the person whose hair had fallen off, the bald person, asked him the same question, what is the thing you desire the most? So he said, the thing I desire most is Allah Ta'ala must remove this disease of mine. When my hair has fallen off, I'm still a young person. I wish my hair to be restored. So he passed his hand over the person, made dua. Allah Ta'ala restored his hair. Then he asked the person, what type of wealth do you like the most? What possession do you like? He said, I like cows. So he gave him a pregnant cow, went on his way. That pregnant cow gave birth, and thereafter he went on to breed them, and many cows he possessed that could fill an entire jungle, entire valley. He went to the third person, who was a blind person, and asked him, what do you desire the most? Obviously he said, I desire that my eyesight should be restored to me. So he passed his hand over him, made dua with the will of Allah. His eyesight was restored. He asked him, what do you like the most in terms of material wealth? He said goats, so he gave him a pregnant she-goat that gave birth, and he also then filled an entire jungle and entire valley with many, many goats. A few years passed, and the same farishta in human form, with the hukam of Allah, returned to each of the three people. He first went to the person who was a leper, knocked at his door, and he pretended to be a beggar, a destitute person. He said to him that I am a traveler. I have lost all my wealth on this journey. I require you to render assistance to me. You are so wealthy. You have a valley full, jungle full of camels. Give at least one camel to me so that I can use it as my conveyance to return to my hometown. I am a musafir. I am lost. I have lost all my possessions. Do assist me. So what did the man say to him? He was ungrateful. Allah Ta'ala had cured him of his leprosy, granted him so much wealth, but because there was no contentment, there was no gratitude, he said to the farishta, make yourself scarce. Get away from me. I cannot give you a single thing. I have many business commitments. I have to attend to other needs and necessities. I cannot give you or spare even a single camel. So then the farishta said to him, that I think I recognize you. Some years ago I passed here, I knocked at your door. You are a leper, afflicted with disease of leprosy. Allah Ta'ala cured you and granted you so much wealth, and today you have become miserly. So he still lied. He said, no, you are lying. This wealth I acquired from my ancestors, to the legacy, inheritance. Allah did not provide this for me, and you are talking nonsense that I was a leper. Yet he was a leper. So the farishta obviously became agitated, angry. The farishta made baddua and cursed him, that may Allah Ta'ala return you to your original condition. So Allah Ta'ala then returned him to his original condition. He lost all the camels, once again became a leper. He went to the second person's home, the one who was bald, and he greeted him with the same pretense that I am a traveler who is lost on his way, and I have no conveyance. I require some assistance, financial assistance, so that I can purchase a conveyance. At least give me one of your cows. I can use that, sell it, buy some conveyance, and then go on my way, attend to my needs. This man gave the same reply, that make yourself scarce, get away from my door. I cannot provide anything for you. I have many commitments I have to attend to. I cannot give you a single cow from all these cows. So he had to the farishta, then said to him, I recognize you. Some years ago, were you not a bald person whom Allah Ta'ala cured, and Allah Ta'ala gave all these cows to you? He too lied that these cows came down from my ancestors by way of inheritance. I did not get it out of the blue. You are lying. And he said to him, I was never a bald person. He also lied. So the farishta made baddua for him. May Allah Ta'ala return you to your original condition. And he returned to the baldness and he lost all his wealth. When he went to the third person who was blind, whose eyesight was restored, and he put the same excuse forward to him, I am a traveler, lost, I need some financial assistance. The blind person was a man whom Allah Ta'ala had given this quality of contentment, gratitude. He said to the farishta in human form, that look towards the jungle, all these goats belong to me. Take how many you want to, whichever one you want to. You can take everything away for your needs. I am prepared to give everything because Allah Ta'ala, once upon a time I owned not a penny. Allah Ta'ala granted all this wealth to me. Allah Ta'ala restored my eyesight. So why should I not be a grateful servant? Take everything away. Then the farishta said to him that you have passed the test. Allah is happy with you because you have shown contentment and gratitude. I make dua that may Allah Ta'ala let your wealth even increase further. Allah Ta'ala give you further barakat in your health. So in this way he gave dua to this person and he saw great prosperity where those two had lost everything and their original sickness, ailment also returned to them. So this also in the hadith, this incident teaches us a great lesson how important to be content and to be grateful to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for the sustenance, for the rozi given to us. In one hadith it comes, once the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Umm Salma radiallahu anha was at home. Some neighbor sent some meat. So Umm Salma radiallahu anha knew that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loves eating meat tremendously. Especially mutton Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to love. So she put the meat away in a shelf. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned home, I shall feed this meat to Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After a short while, a beggar came knocking at the door and asked for some food. Umme Salma radhiyallahu, generally a very generous woman, the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but because there was nothing else in the home that day besides this piece of meat, and she had kept it for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so when the beggar called out that, "Provide some food for me, may Allah give you barakat," she replied by saying, "May Allah give you also barakat." In other words, indirectly saying that there is nothing I can give you, you go on your way. So he went on his way. When later Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned home, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, "Is there anything to eat?" She said, "Yes, O Rasul of Allah, I have kept aside some meat for you which you love." She went to the shelf to retrieve the meat, and she found in place of the meat had turned to stone. So she asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, astonished, "How did this happen?" By this time the revelation had come down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed of the whole incident. He said to his wife that, "O Umm Salma, because you refused to give to that beggar, Allah Ta'ala made this turn into stone, that we also will not be able to eat it." The commentators of the hadith state that turning to stone is symbolic of the fact that when a person, he has the means to spend in the path of Allah, a beggar comes to the door, not that he has nothing, he has something, in spite of that he does not spend even a little, he becomes miserly, then that food which he has retained, when he eats that food, it will be like a spiritual stone for him, it will make him hard-hearted. Hard as stone, haq will not enter his heart, he will not have a soft inclination towards deen, he will not be sympathetic to others, so his heart becomes hard. When a person has a means and yet he does not spend, then Allah Ta'ala makes his heart also hard. Yea, in the case of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his wife Umm Salma radhiyallahu anha, not only spiritually, Allah Ta'ala physically turned the flesh into stone. Why? In order to protect the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if they had to eat the meat, the heart would have become hard. So not in order not to make their hearts hard, Allah Ta'ala changed the flesh into stone so that they would not eat it. But it was a lesson for Umm Salma radhiyallahu anha to learn that in future, if a beggar comes to the door, we have the means, whatever little we can afford to give, let us give it to the beggar. Spend in the path of Allah, Allah will increase our wealth for us. The hadith also says, "Ma naqasat sadaqatum min mali." When you spend in the path of Allah, it does not decrease your wealth, it rather increases your wealth. Allah Ta'ala gives great barakat in other ways. A person may have 1,000 rands, he has to spend 2.5% of that in zakat, let us say. 25 rand he takes away, he's left with 975. So in terms of quantity, in terms of numerical units, it is less than 1,000. But in terms of quality, in terms of barakat, it will go a far longer way than the 1,000 rand would have went had he not paid the zakat. So by paying zakat, Allah Ta'ala gives great barakat. Allah Ta'ala even in quantity can increase the wealth, but in barakat definitely, Allah Ta'ala gives an increment. Allah gives us all the tawfiq of putting this hadith into practice and realizing that true wealth is not determined by the amount of material assets that a person owns. True wealth is the wealth of the heart. There is contentment of the heart. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the sublime quality of qanaat and contentment. Allah Ta'ala save us from greed. Allah Ta'ala save us from hoarding wealth. Allah Ta'ala save us from hankering after the dunya, and keep our focus inshallah towards the akhirat. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta.